Moki, Tom, and Janny's were babies at the close of the American War in Vietnam in the 1970s. Their mothers were Vietnamese. Their fathers were American soldiers. In one way or another, they were all abandoned. Now the search for their birth families has brought them together. Here are their stories.
Moki was at an orphanage in Vietnam when her adopted mother saw her. Maria Eitz was single, but she had already taken in two mixed-race Vietnamese boys. Now, she wanted her sons to have a sister. After all, Eitz knew what it was like to be an orphan. She was left in Germany without her parents at the end of World War II. The women who worked at the Khun Tha orphanage tried to show Eitz some mixed-race babies with light skin. But Eitz saw only a dark-skinned girl with a big stomach and curly hair. "That's my daughter," Eitz said. She wanted a girl who looked like her two black Vietnamese adopted sons. And, she said, she wanted a girl whom nobody else wanted. Eitz named her daughter Moki and brought her to San Francisco, California, where she and her sons lived.
"I remember being very happy as a kid," Moki said. Her house was full of other children. Her adopted mother eventually married a kind, respectful man. Moki attended a good school and had close friends. Still, Moki thought about finding her biological parents. She imagined they had a love story. Their romance was like a fairy tale, she thought, like the show Miss Saigon.
When she was 18 years old, Moki herself became pregnant. Even at that young age, she was excited to have her own child. "I wanted my own blood," Moki explained. She gave birth to a daughter, Caitlin, in 1992. The following year, Moki found a growth on Caitlin's neck. She brought her daughter to the doctor. But she could not tell the doctor her family's medical history. Moki thought, "This is my child, and I don't know what's wrong. And the doctors don't seem to know what's wrong. And I have no information." The thought scared her. Now she had to find her biological parents. The search was a medical necessity.
Tom did not have as happy a childhood as Moki did. When he was 3 days old, someone left him in a box outside a bar. Many American soldiers spent time at the bar, located just outside Tuy Huan Air Base near the city of Nha Trang. Whoever left the baby was telling the American soldiers that the boy belonged to one of them, but none of the men claimed the baby. So the bar's owner, Win Thay Nguyen Vuong, adopted him. She called him Win Tum and raised him as her only son. When Tom was only 11 years old, Nguyen Vuong left. She went with a boyfriend to Pleiku. Tom stayed with his adopted grandparents. But Tom remembers his adopted grandparents did not welcome him. "You don't belong here," his grandmother said. "Any day you are here, you have to work for the food you eat."
In the late 1980s, a Vietnamese official came to talk to Tum's grandparents. The official explained that the U.S. government had created a new program. It permitted the orphaned children of American soldiers, like Tum, to come to the United States. And, the official explained, the child's immediate family could come too. Tum did not believe the official. He was afraid the Vietnamese government was trying to trick him. So he fled to Pleiku to find his adopted mother. The two confirmed that the program, called the Amerasian Homecoming Act, was real. But then his adopted mother did something surprising. She sold Tum to another family. In return, she received about 56 grams of gold. Yet Tom's new family did not succeed in joining him in the United States. At the age of 19, Tum left Vietnam alone. He was, again, all by himself.
Janice also came to the United States through the Amerasian Homecoming Program. But she came with her mother and a stepsister. They were all searching for her father. Saul was a soldier working at an American base in Tam Quang. He and Win Thi Chin lived together for 4 years before Chin gave birth to a baby girl named Janice. 4 months later, Saul was ordered to withdraw from Vietnam. He promised to return for Janice and her mother. He even sent letters and money. But when guerrilla forces entered Bien Hoa in 1972, Janice and her mother fled. To protect her daughter, Chin destroyed all evidence of Saul. She burned his letters and photos. She tried to straighten her daughter's curly hair. She claimed Janny's father was a dark-skinned Montagnard instead of a black American. Eventually, Chin moved back to her parents' home in central Vietnam. They settled near Tam Quang on Highway 1. Janice was 5.
Janice said, "I got beat up every day. They said, 'I'm from the enemy.' They said, 'I'm not supposed to be here, and I'm not supposed to go to school.' Others called her degrading terms for mixed race. They said her mother slept with her father for money. These insults were common for mixed-race children. Throughout Vietnam, the children were ostracized because they looked different. People called them Bui Dai, meaning dust of life. Janice learned to deal with the insults. She did not have a choice. Then she learned about the U.S. government's program for mixed-race children. Chin, Janice, and a stepsister were accepted. They were invited to move to the American state of Oklahoma. For 18 years, Janice had been waiting for Saul to bring her to the U.S. Finally, she was going. But it was the U.S. government, not her father, that was bringing her.
Moki, Tan, and Janice have these things in common. They are of mixed race. They now live in the United States. And they are all using DNA tests to search for their American families. Moki wants to investigate her connections so she can understand her medical history. She found evidence of a genetic link to a person in Alabama who appears to be a cousin. But she has not located a closer relative. The search is painfully slow. But for now, she is pleased that her daughter is healthy again. Tom had a more fruitful experience. He found a close genetic match to a man from the state of Georgia named Chris Murray. Murray is Tom's uncle. He explained that his brother, Danny, was Tom's father. Danny was based in Tuy Hoa during the Vietnam War. But he died in 1989 in an automobile accident. Tom cried when he told the story. He said, "I've spent 43 years looking for my father, and he's no longer alive when I found him." Tom still wanted to recognize the connection to his American family. He changed his name to Thomas Danny Murray to honor his father and paternal grandfather.
Danny's has had the least success in discovering her American family. She still has not found Saul, but she has developed a deep relationship with the mixed-race, dust-of-life community. On a Saturday afternoon in November, Janice was at an airport motel in Oklahoma City. Almost everyone else in the area was watching a television broadcast of an American football game, but not Janice. She was rehearsing traditional Vietnamese songs with 60 other Dust of Life. They were performing that night for a fundraiser. The money would help others who were still left behind. Two of the Vietnamese American orphans were singing. Janice stopped to listen to the words. "I was born fatherless. My mother abandoned me when I was just an infant. Nobody cares about my life. No one shows mercy to the biracial child. There is only me on my own." Janice looked around her at the other abandoned children. "This is my family," she said. "These are my brothers and sisters." I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And I'm Brian Lynn.